From sea to shining sea, America's favorite uncle, Bumpkin Bob.
Hey, y'all, this is Bumpkin Bob coming to you from the Bumpkin Media Studios here in beautiful Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with the Bumpkin Bob Show. Coming to you every Saturday morning. Want to welcome y'all into our studio here, which is actually one of the bedrooms in my house, but that's all right. We're all bumpkins at heart. It's cool. Really don't have any announcements this morning. I hope I'm not missing anybody's birthday. I do have a public service announcement I thought of this morning that I really want to get out there. You know, it's mid-July here in the state of Arkansas, and mid-July in the old nation, whatever. But, you know, this time of year, it starts getting really hot. Humidity levels get up through the Midwest and the South. So if y'all have elderly family or neighbors, you know, make sure you check on them from time to time during this heat. A lot of times our elderly, because they're on a fixed income, if their air conditioner breaks, they won't fix it because they can't afford to, or they won't run it during the day because it runs their electric bill up so high they can't afford it. So make sure you check on the elderly, whether it's family members or neighbors, people you go to church with. If you have it, the means to do it, say you're off one day, hey, pick them up and take them to the mall and eat at the food court. Maybe people watch at the mall or walk around and window shop and let them soak up a little of that air conditioner. It'll be great. I mean, probably got air in your car, so they get a little air conditioner that way and then go hang out in the mall or someplace. You know, maybe go see a movie. That'd be pretty cool. We're going to talk about some movies, some earlier movies here in a little bit. But anyway, just make sure you check on the elderly. Remember that it is hot and make sure they're getting plenty of water. Next thing I wanted to do before we really get into our job site tell or anything is I wanted to give a couple of shout outs. Going to give a little background about myself before I do that. Everybody that knows me knows I like to go have a draft beer every now and then, and I like bourbon whiskey. That's just me. My bourbon of choice is Jim Beam. Other people might like or not like that. I mean, that's just my bourbon of choice, and it's funny because, and I've told y'all he's going to be mentioned a lot. My father liked bourbon, and his bourbon of choice was Old Charter, but he very seldom bought it because it's so expensive, which I don't think it's that expensive. He did. And this is coming from a man that probably made more a year than I'm going to ever make a year in my lifetime, but he wouldn't buy Old Charter, he'd buy Early Times, and Early Times actually is not a bourbon. It qualifies as far as ingredients and where it's made, but they age part of it in like 20% of it in used barrels, which to be a bourbon whiskey, it has to be aged in new barrels that have been charred. So it's not technically a bourbon. It is made in Kentucky. Not to knock Early Times, because I'm going to tell y'all what right now. Something I really like is, I call it Kentucky tea. I got that from my son-in-law's dad. But that's mixing bourbon with tea. And if you use unsweet tea and get you some Early Times and mix in there, because it is so sweet that it kind of, that tea and the tea and whiskey, because it's not technically a bourbon, kind of offset each other. Now, if you drink sweet tea with it, it might be way too sweet. Seems to me, my opinion, it seems as you go up in price, bourbon gets a little less sweet and a little more smooth kind of as you go up. But anyway, that's, you know, other than beer and bourbon and maybe an occasional margarita, because I do like frozen margaritas, I don't venture too far away from that. But the first shout out I want to give is to Post Winery. My friend, buddy, whatever you want to call him, little brother, Donovan is a rep for, he may be regional manager or something for Post Winery out of Arkansas, out of Altus, Arkansas. But at his mom and dad's 50th wedding anniversary, which I talked about on a previous show, he had some Post wines there. And he turned me on to one. Now, Post is mainly muscadine. That's what the grapes they grow, which is, everybody knows, muscadines are native to Arkansas and also the southeastern United States. But I think they primarily grow muscadines there at their vineyard, so to speak. So I was looking for a muscadine wine from Post, and there's several, but the bottles didn't look right. So I had to get back in touch with Donovan, and he got back with me. And what I was looking for was the Parachute, which is a light, sweet table wine. But it is a muscadine wine, is the primary grape they use in that, or maybe the only grape they use for making that. Excellent, even for an old bumpkin like me. I really enjoyed that. I'm not a wine connoisseur by any means, but I did like that. So a shout out to Post Winery. The other shout out I wanted to give was, since we're talking about, you know, liquor industries type stuff to Arkansas, is to Rocktown Distillery down there in Little Rock, Arkansas. They make what they call an Arkansas bourbon. They make a hickory smoked whiskey. I think they make a gin, a vodka. Of course, they make clear moonshine. Not sure what else they do make. They also make something that I dearly love, which is the apple pie moonshine. I found it in both 100 proof and 40 proof. And as another public service announcement, just so you know, that 100 proof will sneak up on you, because it tastes kind of like drinking apple juice. And you start drinking that 100 proof after two glasses, you'll be passed out and wherever you're sitting. So keep that in mind if you're drinking that apple pie moonshine. It will sneak up on you. Now, we did tour that facility, which this brings up a good idea. We toured the Rocktown Distillery a couple years ago, had a blast doing that, got to sample some of their stuff. Their vodka also is excellent. And I'm not a vodka drinker, but it is smooth. I'm telling you what. It goes down like water. It's good stuff. I believe if you're a gin drinker that they have won some awards with their gins. But in speaking with touring the Rocktown Distillery, I'm pretty sure most of the vineyards there in and around that area of Arkansas where all those wineries are at, they're around Altus and up through that area, offer tours. And it's like, maybe one day we can get O'Donovan to meet us up there at the Post Winery and take their tour and do that during one of our day trips. I think we could get there. I know we could get there in probably 3 hours, maybe 2.5 from here. And so that'd make a nice little day trip. We'll go tour that winery and talk about Post Wines. Now, I know there's a lot of craft beer, especially up here and in Little Rock, being brewed, and we I don't have all those names, so we're not going to go through all that. But I did want to give a shout out to Post and give a shout out to Rocktown Distillery. Those are both things that I have partaken in, so to speak, and will partake in again probably. As a matter of fact, I got a little apple pie moonshine right here. So. Just drink responsibly. If you get a chance, go tour those two places. And again, maybe we can get Donovan to come give us a personal tour. That'd be great. Y'all can meet some of my friends. Donovan is part of the Trailer Park Clan. You're going to hear me talk about the Trailer Park from time to time on here. In 1969 or 70, we moved to Little Rock and moved to A&M Circle, or Marietta Circle, as some referred to it, Albert and Marietta Circle, which was a trailer park there in southwest Little Rock. And so you're going to hear me talk about that from time to time. A lot of good people lived there. Consider them my brothers and sisters. that kind of stuff. My first girlfriend was in the trailer park. We might go into that story one of these days. I don't know that she even remember who I am. That might be kind of funny if she's out there. Hi, Tanya Caps. Get that out there right off the bat. I was six. I gave her a ring. I think she gave it back. I'm not sure. And she was there the day with Lisa Keeler when I wrecked my bicycle and hit the car. We're not going to tell that story ever, if you know what I'm talking about. We're going to move on now and talk about our job site tale for the day. And I'm going to give a little background on why I'm telling this story today. I'm telling you what, folks, and this goes back to the public service announcement I made earlier. It's hot up here. I don't care what anybody says. This week has been miserable. And the job site we're working on right now is basically, it's a metal building shell. It's been standing for about 5 years, and it's being finished out right now. And it's basically a field house for a small local high school here. And it's got an overhead door on the east and west side, and then a couple of walk-through doors on the north side. And about got all the walls up in it right now, and they keep the overhead doors open. You know, there's no air conditioning in this building yet. It's hot. I haven't put a thermometer on it, but with that sun baking on that metal building all day, it's easily got to be 5 to 10 degrees hotter inside the building than it is outside. And I mean, it's miserable outside, and then you got all that humidity. There's a little bit of breeze will come through them doors every now and then, but it's not much. And it's sometimes, usually by 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's just plain ass miserable inside that thing. That's the best thing you can say. It's just plain ass miserable. That being said, on Thursday, we had an annual occurrence there at the job site, which occurs every week. They cleaned the porta potties. Now, for you construction people that know about and use and are around porta potties, you know they stink. I mean, especially after 2 or 3 days being used. And usually the problem is, and I'm going to point at general contractors for this, those things are set up, they say they're sanitary for 10 people for a normal work week, and they'll put 1 or 2 porta potties on a job site and have 60 people using them. And it's like, that's not sanitary. And, you know, really, I'm going to get my ass kicked probably for saying this, but I don't know who decides and checks that, but OSHA inspectors, whoever, y'all ought to do a better job at going around job sites. Just pull up and count the number of people and the number of porta toilets that are on the damn job site. It's fucking, pardon my French, fucking ridiculous sometimes. They kind of treat the construction workers like animals instead of human beings. That being said, they showed up Thursday to clean the porta potties. And anybody that's worked construction knows these little green things right here, if you can see in the back picture behind me. Anybody that's worked construction knows that no matter how bad they stink, when they start cleaning them out, basically they pull a big septic tank type truck in there and suck them dry. It's, oh my God, the smell is just overwhelming. It will take your breath away. Thank God it'll take your breath away, because then you don't have to smell it. But they start cleaning those things, and that smell wafted into that building. And I'll be honest with you, I had the porta potties are on the west side of the building, not far from the overhead door. And I just went out the east side of the building. I couldn't take it. It's like, you know, I'm 52 years old. My stomach ain't as strong as it used to be when it comes to smells like that. It was horrible. But anyway, it got me thinking about something that happened. Oh, my God. This must have been 15, 16 years ago on a job site. We had a guy working with us, and I've talked about him before. Probably never going to run out of stories about this guy. But It's during the winter, you know, and the building's not doesn't even have a roof on it yet. They're still standing still and laying block, and we're there doing our little thing. Well, he, because it's winter, he's wearing insulated bib overalls, coveralls, whatever you want to call them. And because he's got these insulated bib coveralls on, he needs a place to hook his tape measure. So he gets this little, it's like a 3/4 or 1 inch wide leather belt. It's not very big anyway. And he'll put his coveralls on and he'll put that leather belt around his coveralls. So he's got a place to clip his tape measure on. And so I guess so it feels natural, like it's right at waist height. So he walks around, and then on top of that, he bought, and I don't remember if it was a 30 or 35 foot, like Stanley Fat Max or Black Fat Max or something like that tape measure. Thing looked like it weighed 20 pounds. I mean, it's the biggest tape measure I've ever seen. And electricians, we use our tape measure every day, all the time. I mean, it's a, you got to have your tape measure on you. If you're running conduits, you're measuring stuff. So it's just part of our daily job. So anyway, he heads out to the, as we, you know, they're porta pots, AKA the shitters on the job site, and to do his business. Well, instead of taking that, his tape measure off, and that leather belt and leaving it on his roughing cart, which is we keep carts with us that we keep all our material on while we're running conduit or whatever we're doing. Instead of taking that belt off and leaving it there, he just left it on. He took all his tools out of his coveralls, but left that tape measure clipped to that belt. And he goes out there to the shitter, AKA porta potty or whatever you want to call it, goes in to do his business. Well, he raises the lid and he's, starts taking his coveralls off without unclipping that tape measure. And like I said, it's that big, heavy, fat Black Max. And he just bought it. Well, sure enough, it flopped off of that belt right into the dumper. So he come back and he's all pissed because he just bought that tape measure like a week before and it was in the shitter now. So, you know, we all gave him a hard time about, why didn't you take it off? I just didn't think about it. And, you know, you hear all the normal excuses. So, anyway, as it kind of got circulated around the job site, what happened, we had this plumber on the job site that this guy had already pulled a couple of practical jokes on him. Well, when the plumber heard that he had dropped his tape measure in the shitter, he's like, okay, it's payback time now. So he kind of kept an eye out, and when the guy showed up to clean the shitters, he went up there and told him what had happened. So that guy pumps the shitter out and then gets his big rubber gloves on that go up to here and reaches in there and gets that tape measure out and throws it on the ground. Well, the plumber gets it, rinses it off, and then gets a pair of gloves and puts it on, and he chased this poor guy all over the job site trying to give him his tape measure back. He just walked up and he's like, hey, dude, I got your tape measure for you. Well, he's like, I don't want it. And he's like, no, I got it for you. And he started walking towards him. Well, he took off running. And he literally chased him all over the job site trying to give him that tape measure back, which I'm pretty sure he ended up putting in the guy's toolbox, which is even funnier if you think about it. So now you got this shit-filled, nasty tape measure in his toolbox, which is pretty nasty. And he was telling me, he's like, I don't care if you put it in a bucket and soak it in bleach for a month. I don't want it back. But that plumber was determined he was going to give it to him. It was the funniest thing, him chasing him around, trying to give him that tape measure. It's just hilarious. And it's kind of a little bit of that guy's own medicine because he was always pulling practical jokes on people, and he had pulled a couple on the plumber. So it was his own fault. Anyway, that's our job site tale for today. And I want to make sure you know to go check us out on Facebook and check out our email links and send us your job site tales. Again, and I'm going to say this probably every week, I don't care if you work at a hospital or retail or if you're working a chain gang for the Department of Corrections, if something happens funny, and, you know, even the chain gang guys, if you got access to the internet, you know, I'm sure it'll be supervised. Hit us up on an email and let us know your job site tale so we can get those read online. Here, maybe in a month or two, we can start doing that and maybe have a segment where we read a viewer's job site tales. Because I only got so many of my own, y'all, so I need some from y'all, too. You know, help old Bumpkin Bob out here a little bit. And I got in trouble for this last week because I said it wrong. And God help me, I thought I wrote it down. I did write it down. Also, follow us on Twitter at Bumpkin Bob Show. I think last week I said at the Bumpkin Bob Show. I got in trouble. So it's follow us at Bumpkin Bob Show. It just tickles me, and y'all be tickled too, because my manager / producer / my oldest son standing right over there in the corner going, I actually did something right for a change. Now, if he'd give me a sign every now and then about how many minutes I've been blabbing, then I would know, you know, kind of where I'm at and what I need to do. But hang on just a minute. Let's do this right here. This is some good shit. A little sip of the apple pie there. That's Rocktown Distillery's best. And it's only the 40 proof, so don't nobody get all upset. Don't be emailing me here at the Bumpkin Bob Show about that shit either, because that won't make it on air. I can guarantee you that, because I'm going to be the one deciding what goes on air. Well, he's probably going to decide, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about. I had a little bit of a rant that I wanted to get out of here today. It's not too much, but I wanted to bring it up because, I have, but it's been a long time. And y'all, I'm not talking about what you're probably thinking I'm talking about right now. But vacations. I saw a meme yesterday, if I'm saying that right. Is it meme? I don't know. I think that's how you say it. It said, everybody's posting their vacation pictures and all I've done is gone to Walmart or something like that. And it's like, that's kind of what I want to talk about. It's like, all these people taking these vacations, and I'm not knocking people for taking vacations. God love you. But sometimes in the back of my pea little brain, I have to wonder, especially if you've got like 3 or 4 youngins and you go to Disneyland, how in the hell do you pay for that? Because I've looked up some of the hell just to go to Whitewater for the day is $20 for kids and $40 for adults. It's like, how do you pay for that? And it got me to thinking, it's like, you know, there are people out there that literally, you know, they think a vacation, and I think the new catch term that some people use now is staycation, which is what we always took. I mean, every now and then we'd go to Branson if we could afford it, but most of the time when we took our vacations, time off from work, we just stayed at home and hung around the house because we couldn't afford to go anyplace. And I'm talking about after I got married and had kids of my own. It's like, but some of these people think that a vacation is owed them. And so they take a vacation and they do these elaborate vacations and they go to Disney World or Disneyland and they put it all on a credit card and then they try to pay that credit card off before the next year so that they could take another vacation. And some of the, you know, I've known some people that, you know, it takes 13, 14 months to pay it off, so their vacation keeps getting later and later a year, and they're eventually going to have a year where they don't have a vacation. If you see how that works, I mean, we won't go into the math of the whole thing, but there's only 12 months of the year. You know, use your head, people. But I just don't understand. And another one that blows my mind. I seen a meme the other day about, and I don't want to sound racist because I am talking about white people, but it said, white people are the only race that'll spend hundreds of dollars to live like the homeless when they're talking about going camping. And it's like, that kind of made sense to me. You know, now these people that are buying the $40,000 travel trailers and $25,000 boats, they're not going and camping and living like the homeless. But, you know, a lot of people still do the tent thing. And it's like they'll leave an air-conditioned house to go sleep in a hot-ass canvas tent on top of a sleeping bag, sweat their ass off, and cook out on the open fire, cook canned beans and whatever else they can catch, like if they're fishing out over open fire like homeless people. And it's like, that is true. People spend a lot of money to go camping, and I've just never understood the allure of it, so to speak. Now, if I could afford a camping trailer, that might be a different, where I'm still sleeping in the air conditioning every night, but that sleeping in a hot tent, I've done that, and there, I got no, it doesn't appease me, so to speak. And it just blows my mind how people take vacations. And then another thing I want to talk about on the same thing is about travel. And it's like, and I know I'm not really running a hard rant today. It's just, these are just things I've noticed. I notice a lot of people, like on Facebook and some other sites I've been on, and I know what you're thinking now, and it ain't that kind of site either. I'm talking about like some of the dating sites, because yeah, I'm single, so I check out some of the online dating sites. But these women put on there that they want to travel overseas, and people put on Facebook, want to travel overseas, and it's like, damn, there are things here in the U.S. that I hadn't got to see, like Granite Mountain, Georgia. I want to see that, especially because it's got the four of the generals from the Civil War carved on the side, and I'm sure some liberals are going to say that that offends somebody and going to want that taken off. Mount Rushmore, I hadn't got to see Mount Rushmore, and I'm sure there's at least one president up on that mountain that somebody's going to say is offended by and won't take it off. The Crazy Horse Monument, I'd like to see that. There's some stuff in Wyoming. It's like, man, I can't even afford to go see stuff in the U.S. Why the hell would I want to go overseas? And then I worked for some people that were, because of their last name, and I don't know that they had checked the history. Maybe they had, maybe they hadn't. But they were convinced they were Irish, Irish descent. And that's all they talked about every year was going to Ireland and doing this and going to Ireland and doing that. It's like, if Ireland was so damn great, why'd your ancestors come over here? I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm English and maybe Scottish. I'm not sure where Griggs actually came from, but I know where some of my family other surnames came from. And it's like, if England was so great, why are they over here? That's all I'm saying. So, and nothing against you people in the UK. I'm sure it's great going to Europe, but I got to see my own country first before I start going over there, is the way I look at it. It just seems crazy to me. And that brings me to another little story. I'll tell you, I won't tell you who it was. I won't give you too much information. But I was having dinner one night. Of course, I'm single. Been divorced since 2010. And I was having dinner with two couples one night. And boy, you talking about feeling like a fifth wheel. I was really feeling it because they started talking about traveling. And between the four of them, they had all been to Europe. And some of it had been job related. And some of it had been just for vacations or, you know, tour type stuff and everything. But, man, I sat there and I listened to it. I was not part of the conversation because, again, never been to Europe. But I sat there and listened to it. And finally, when there was a little break, I said, I went to Tulsa once. And literally all four of them gave me this look like. And then they just went back to talking. And they didn't find it funny. They just completely went over their heads. I still laugh about it to this day because of the look on their face. I thought it was funny as shit. I mean, it just popped out. You know, it was one of them things. I've been to Tulsa, which is just right from where I'm sitting, literally. It's about an hour that way. So it's not that big a deal to go to Tulsa. It's kind of, it's quicker than going to Little Rock. The only problem with Tulsa is it's in Oklahoma. Hope I don't get in trouble about that. Anyway, because one of these shows will go into Oklahoma, but maybe not. I don't know. That might get us in deep shit. As long as it's not porta potty shit. Anyway, get off my shit about vacations. It's just my little deal. I honestly. Oh, and there's another place. I want to go to Gulf Shores, Alabama. Everybody's like, why do you want to go there? It's like, I don't know. I've just heard about it for all my life. It's like, it must be a cool place. So I need to go to Gulf Shores, Alabama at some point in my life when I can afford it. You know what I need to do? This is what I'm thinking right now. I need to start a Bumpkin Bob GoFundMe page to send me on vacation. I wonder if anybody give me money to that. That's a pretty good idea. So here you go. Y'all be thinking in your brains how much money y'all would donate to send me to Gulf Shores, Alabama. And then if it's enough, we can run over there to Granite Mountain, Georgia. And then, you know, of course we get that much. We might just go to Europe. No. Anyway, another thing I wanted to talk about on today's show, and it's really funny because I had this conversation this week, and then we had it again this morning when I was going over with my producer slash manager slash oldest son with I need to come up with a name for him. You know, I don't know what you call that, so to speak. But, you know, if anybody can email me something, if you can combine manager, producer, son together into some kind of name, and asshole probably isn't a good one, send that to us on one of them their email links I'm always talking about, because he loves it. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Bumpkin Bob Show. I'm going to love doing that. Anyway, I had this discussion this week, and it basically was a discussion of two camps in a movie genre, which is Western. And kind of you have the John Wayne camp and the Clint Eastwood camp. And I'm probably one of those people that float back and forth. I liked both of them. The guy I was talking to, probably in his mid-30s, I think, probably 35 or 36, the one I had the first conversation with, his dad, he wouldn't say that he was necessarily Clint Eastwood camp, but his dad was. And he said he honestly couldn't remember ever seeing a John Wayne movie. And I'm like, really? I found that strange. But he said, no, really. He said, I really don't think I ever have. So we got into that discussion, and I need to get some of my DVDs together and take to him to let him watch some John Wayne movies. My background with John Wayne was, and I'll tell you why I'm such a fan of John Wayne. And I'll be honest with you, too. I had to look up the date because I couldn't remember. I was thinking that I was probably 10, but when I looked up the date, I was probably 8 or 9. But for those of you that grew up like over in Southwest Little Rock, around that University Avenue area, you're going to remember that right there in the same parking lot with Casa Bonita was the UA Cinema 150 as part of the United Artists deal. And the Cinema 150 was the big dome theater, just had one screen. And if a movie was showing at the Cinema 150, they didn't show it at any of the other United Artists movie theaters in Little Rock, the multi-screen theaters, which there happened to be one right across Asher Avenue from it. And but anyway, and it had to have been 72 because that's when it came out. My dad took me and I'm pretty sure Johnny and Joe Murdoch from the trailer park went too. Joe was my age and Johnny was his dad. They took us to see the Cowboys with John Wayne. And And something else. I mean, go look at who was in that movie. Some of those names, if you'll go and read their biography, it'll blow your mind. But that was my first John Wayne movie, and I literally was hooked. And I'm sure that that movie is what drives my fascination with Westerns and the cowboy way of life and that kind of stuff. I mean, I just soak all that in. I love that to death. And if you've never seen the Cowboys, that's one Western. And to me, with this guy, I mean, I've got that DVD. That's what I'm going to take him first, because that's the one you should start with, I think. I mean, if you really want to get into a John Wayne, you know, and then start venturing into his older stuff and some of the newer stuff after that. I can't remember. I mean, the John Wayne movie is vivid about what got me started with him. Clint Eastwood, probably seeing the spaghetti westerns on Saturday afternoon. They would show a lot of those, which is kind of what catapulted him. I mean, he was Rowdy Yates there on a, can't remember the name of that show now, but it was a TV show. And but the spaghetti westerns really sent him into that western genre and got him notoriety. And, you know, like The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, and A Fistful of Dollars, and some of those others. I mean, there were just a million of them. My favorite Clint Eastwood movie of all time, as far as western goes, is The Outlaw Josie Wales. Now, Clint made a couple of war movies. John Wayne made several. I'm really not into those. I wasn't very much into like Clint Eastwood's Dirty Harry movies and the stuff he did other than his westerns. Kind of the same way with John Wayne. I haven't watched too much of anything else that he did. Along with the Cowboys, I think some people may have over the years called into question John Wayne's acting ability. I think if you question that, then the movie you need to watch is The Shootist. I mean, it's epic. That is just an epic movie. They had an actor there who literally at the time was dying of cancer, and he plays an aging gunfighter that's dying of cancer. I mean, it's epic. To me, it completely shows people that he had acting ability. I mean, I know a lot of people thought he didn't. It really does to me. Same way with Clint Eastwood. I think sometimes his acting ability was brought into question. And if it is with you, then you need to watch The Unforgiving, or just Unforgiving, I think. Again, it's one of his or last westerns maybe that he made. To me, I think it brings anybody who had doubt about his acting ability needs to watch that movie, because it'll take that away. You won't have any doubt about it, to me. I mean, that's just the way I look at it. Probably my other favorite from that time era was Lee Marvin. He didn't do as many westerns as the other two, but the one I always look at, and he actually didn't play a cowboy in it. He played a cavalry officer like in the early 1900s, but The Professionals. And if you get a chance and can find that on DVD, check that out. Cat Ballou is another one with Lee Marvin. If you like the more comedic type westerns, Cat Ballou with Lee Marvin, and then watch. If you like John Wayne, you want to see his lighter side, watch the Rooster Cogburn stuff. Now, I know his first one, which was True Grit, is a little more serious, but like Rooster Cogburn and The Lady, you know, the chemistry between him and Katharine Hepburn is amazing. I bet it would have been amazing to have been on that set, because I bet the two of them were hoots. They just had such great chemistry, and And to me, that Rooster Cogburn character kind of shows his lighter side, his comedic side. I just love those movies. They just really do it for me. The more me and my son talked this morning, I mean, we got into talking about City Slickers. He absolutely loves that movie. I love that movie. He's like, well, is it really a cowboy movie? Is it really a Western? I mean, you can fall on both sides of the fence there. Still, it's a great movie. It really is. It's funnier than hell. Just, I mean, Daniel Stern's character is a riot. He really is. I love that character he plays in that movie. That's one to check out right there. Another thing, as we get into the modern era of today, I mean, you can't beat Sam Elliott and Tom Selleck for their Westerns. Robert Duvall and Tommy Lee Jones. I mean, Lonesome Dove is just, oh my God, that's over the top right there. That's the stuff dreams are made of, you know what I mean? And some of the stuff Robert Duvall, I can't think of the name of it, and I should have checked it before we went online. But the one he does with Thomas Hayden Church, great Western. I mean, look that up on IMDb and go watch that one. Great, great Western. Loved it. You know, people, I think when that movie came out, it's probably a made-for-TV movie. But, I mean, Thomas Hayden Church, I don't think anybody expected him to be a cowboy and be able to really act in Westerns. But he really did a good job with that one. It is awesome. It is just, I can't say any more about that movie. It's just awesome. He did an excellent job. Of course, Sam Elliott and Tom Selleck. I love Tom Selleck's movies. I didn't even think about this one a minute ago. Tom Selleck did a movie called Monty Walsh, which was a remake of one that Lee Marvin did. Watch them both. They're both good movies. I mean, they follow basically the same storyline. They get there a little different way, but both of them very good movies. I mean, they both have serious content as far as what they're trying to convey, but they also have some lighter sides to them. I mean, the fight scene in the bunkhouse with Tom Selleck is just, it's awesome. It really is. It's funnier than shit. Of course, anything's funnier than shit, probably, as most people would like to say. But yeah, watch that. And then Sam Elliott and Tom Selleck did some movies together, The Sacketts and The Shadow Riders, which was based on the Sackett family. You know, those were excellent movies. I think they were made for TV movies. A lot of the ones here lately have been. And that brings me to, I'm going to tell y'all what, this, I've never been so disappointed in two movies in my life. But here a couple years ago, man, they started running the trailer, seeing it on YouTube and seeing ads for The Hateful Eight. And, man, I thought, oh, my God, because the everything for that was just, oh, I thought, man, that's going to be a good show. You know, it's a Quentin Tarantino movie, and maybe that's where it went wrong. Maybe that's where it went right. I don't know. I hated it. It was not what I expected. It was not as well done as I expected it to be done. And I'm not a movie critic by any means, but the only good thing in that movie was Zoe Bell's little part where she played Six Gun Judy, I think was her name. Zoe Bell is a doll. I mean, if anybody knows her, if she's single and needs a little fat country boy to be her man, you know, I'm all there. I'm not married or anything. But Zoe Bell is a doll. The rest of the movie I can live without, you know, and it. And I guess mainly because of the cast of characters. I mean, it had Kurt Russell and Samuel L. Jackson and Channing Tatum. I mean, a lot of people probably don't know he's in that movie, but he is. And then a host of others that you will recognize. I can't even remember who all was in it. And just from that cast, I thought, man, that's going to be a good movie. To me, it sucked. The other one, which also involved Kurt Russell, I don't know that this movie ever came out at the theater. I think it went straight to DVD. But Bone Tomahawk, I mean, I saw some trailers on some other DVDs for it, and I thought, all right, here we go. Finally, another Western. Somebody's coming out with a good Western. You know, in this time and day, it sucked. I'm sorry. Again, I'm not a movie critic. I'm just somebody that likes that genre of movies, and I hated that movie. Bought the DVD and then hated it. I don't know that really and truly trying to think, you know, since in the last 10 years, other than some of the TNT movies, and y'all don't knock TNT, they really put out some good movies. I just don't feel like anybody's put out a good Western. Now, there have been two shows. One that was on FX, the other originally on A&E, and I think actually three. And two of them were on A&E, and then A&E dropped them and Netflix picked them up. But one is a Western, and that's Hell on Wheels. And the only dig I got about Hell on Wheels is they rushed the ending because they were trying to wrap it up and finish everything, and they really rushed it. But that is an excellent series. I think it probably had five or six seasons, and then they wrapped it up this year. And their seasons are only 10 or 13 episodes. It's not very much. The other two that I was thinking about first, which aren't really Westerns, but I guess you might call them modern Westerns, sort of, is Justified, which I dearly love. And I hated that they ended that show. I don't know. I guess actors, I'm not sure why they did it. They ended that show, but it was an excellent show. And the other one's Longmire. And I think Longmire's filming its last season or has filmed its last season. Not sure why they're cutting it short. I mean, I guess the only good thing that comes out of this is they decide on the front end that we're not doing any more seasons. I know. And it's been a while ago, and I borrowed the CDs, and forgive me, I haven't watched them. There was a Western on HBO, I believe, is what it produced and was on, and called Deadwood. And now Deadwood, they kind of screwed everybody on Deadwood, because the way I understand, they did three seasons, and then they just dropped it, and they left a bunch of things hanging, at least with Justified, Longmire, and Hell on Wheels. They decided before the season was started that this was going to be the last season, so they wrapped everything up. They didn't leave you hanging on anything. And that's with Justified and Hell on Wheels. I'm assuming Longmire is going to do the same thing, because I have heard that this is the last season for it. So if you want to watch modern Westerns, that's probably as close as you're going to get. Man, my brain has gone blank since this morning. I mean, we just had this discussion, and I'm sure there have been some stuff made since 2000. It's just not clicking in my brain right now. And another good series of movies to watch is with Tom Selleck, and those are the Jesse Stones. I mean, I know they're not Westerns, but those are a good series of movies to watch, and I did get online this morning because I was thinking about that, and I thought, man, they hadn't made a Jesse Stone movie in a while. Well, there's one it's either done or in production right now that they're going to release in 2018. So, and I'm not too sure those aren't TNT movies. If they are, TNT, y'all do a great job with your movies and the stuff like the Jesse Stone type series of movies. You know, I wish y'all would do more kind of that Western type, cowboy type hero movies, whether they're just full-on blown westerns or kind of the modern westerns. It's like, it's too bad TNT didn't pick up Hell on Wheels and Longmire instead of Netflix. Not that I'm docking Netflix. I mean, I like Netflix as well as the next guy, but, you know, they're just, I'm sure, production cost involved, and they're just going to make so many seasons, and then they're going to shut them down. So it's good they picked it up from A&E. But I wish something like TNT had picked it up, maybe done a few more seasons than what Netflix is doing. That being said, you know, I'd like to know two things, and this is probably going to fill our email box up, and I will sit down and make a decision, and maybe when we talk about this again, I'll voice my opinions. But two things I want to know is, listen, do you fall into the John Wayne camp or the Clint Eastwood camp? And you know, really, truly, I kind of put, if you look at, you know, John Wayne type movies versus Clint Eastwood type movies, I kind of put Tom Selleck and Sam Elliott more over in the Clint, in the John Wayne type style. But let me know whether you fall into the John Wayne or the Clint Eastwood, you know, kind of where you fall back and forth. And then let's also go, trying to think how I want to do this. I don't want to make it just strictly 1970s or 1960s, but, you know, I think a lot of people are going to, would just, if you told them, said, well, pick your five top Westerns of, you know, list them one to five, your favorite to number five. I think today's, you know, the younger crowds are going to get more stuff like Lonesome Dove. Not that it shouldn't be in your top five, but I think you're going to get more stuff like Lonesome Dove and some of the later stuff that's come out here later. I don't think you're going to pick up stuff like from the 60s, but let's list your top five. Another John Wayne movie that just popped in my head. If you want to see one that's got some humor overtones to it, The Train Robbers, with John Wayne and Anne Margaret and John's buddy, Ben Johnson. I mean, you start looking at that movie and you start seeing how many movies Ben Johnson was in. And John Wayne was drawn to those kind of people that were actually cowboys. I mean, Ben Johnson, if I'm not mistaken, was like a, may have been a PRCA world champion at one time. Either team roping or calf roping. And then also, and he ended up playing in a bunch of movies with John Wayne, usually as John Wayne's sidekick. Another one John Wayne was taken with was Clay O'Brien, who was in The Cowboys. He was the little bitty kid in The Cowboys. And he ended up, he didn't act very much after that. I mean, I think he did some Disney movies, but he ended up being like six or seven time PRCA, either team roping or calf roping champion. Somebody needs to look that up and let me know. But I mean, he actually grew up on a ranch, and the way I hear it, John Wayne was really, he was drawn to those kind of people. So, you know, let me know what camp you kind of fall in, and then also your top five Westerns of all time. You know, and again, stop and think about it before you just start naming all these modern Westerns. Another one's Who Shot Liberty Valance? I mean, there you got John Wayne and Lee Marvin, and Jimmy Stewart. You got to think about Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart did a lot of Westerns. So, you know, keep him in mind when you're coming up with that. Again, let's review what we've talked about today. Bitch a little bit about people taking vacations. No, Bob not getting one. So, We gave the public a service announcement about elderly people. And that's not a laughing matter, y'all. It really is getting hot, so make sure you check on your elderly. And we talked about Post Wineries and Rocktown Distilleries. Make sure you support those, especially if you live here in the state of Arkansas. And just make sure you get out there and support your local businesses. Again, probably here in the next week or two, I told y'all last week, we're going to do a big segment on the killing of an icon, which is Sears, the dying of an icon. Not sure how we're going to call that. Make sure you tune in for that, because I'm going to try to talk a little bit too then on the subject of the old-time department stores. I mean, those things were pretty regional, but all small towns had their own department store, whereas maybe only one. But then you had regional stuff around here. We had West department stores and Magic Mart stores and Howard department stores and the Ben Franklin Five and Dimes and the Sterling Five and Dimes. And, you know, those have all kind of went by the wayside. So anyway, be looking for that on a future show. Make sure you check out our Facebook page. Make sure you check out our email links. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at Bumpkin Bob Show. Hey, man, that's like the third time today that I've said that correctly. And make sure you tune back in next week for our next episode of the Bumpkin Bob Show. We're out.